Howdy, friends, and welcome to the brand new Killer Frogs Football Podcast as a part of the SI Fan Nation Network. Our official podcast name will be worked out at a later date, but for now, this is the official Killer Frogs Football Podcast. I'm your host, Nolan Ruth, a Fort Worth area native who has a very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. This is the first of several preseason podcasts we'll have before that glorious day comes along when toe meets leather and the season begins. I'm joined by my new partner in crime, JD Andres, who seems to co-host just about every podcast for Killer Frogs, and he's helping me to launch this new edition of the football podcast of the upcoming 2024 football season. And, you know, JD, I got to ask you, we're about halfway from baseball ending and football beginning. Are you bored yet?
Oh, man, I've been bored for the last, I don't know, month or so. MLB draft was right down the street from my house the other, last night. It told me over a little bit. TCU had some big names go early that we thought would. But, you know, it's 46 more days until the first game of the season. NCAA 25 dropped today, so I've been playing that nonstop. I think I beat Georgia by 250 points today. So that, you know, exercise some demons a little bit. I'm excited to be here. I've been covering TCU with, Killer Frogs and Sports Illustrated for about a year now, actually. So I've got a little bit more experience, so I'm not as nervous as I used to be, but I'm excited to be here with you, Nolan. I think we're going to have a lot of good conversations.
I completely agree. And, you know, you and I, we were supposed to do a dry run with just the two of us the other day, which unfortunately got nixed. And by the way, mentioning baseball, the home run derby is currently going on in my studio TV at the moment. So I'll be, you know, today's a battle for my attention, really. But that's a big deal. And, I'm glad to have you on. We're going to have, I don't know if you and I are going to agree on a lot of stuff or disagree on a lot of stuff, but that's what's going to hopefully make this an interesting show. I figured it'd be a good idea to go ahead. I know Brett Gibbons, who's with Killer Frogs, was doing this podcast last year. It was just about a couple of months ago that I was asked to head this up by our managing editor, Barry Lewis. And so I'm, being the spearhead of this, I just kind of figured you and I should just take a minute and introduce ourselves. I'll go ahead and start for Killer Frogs fans that may not know me. I was born in Arlington, grew up in the greater Fort Worth area, grew up a Sooner fan. My helmet's right above me right here. And I'm still a Sooner at heart, Sooner born, Sooner bred. But, being from Aledo is where I grew up, as you can see my jersey behind me as well. There was always some love for the Frogs. And then I got this opportunity with Killer Frogs about a year ago, right at the end of football season. And so I did the baseball season where we went to Omaha and then I left for a little bit. And now I'm back just in time for this next football season. I played football and baseball growing up. I tried to dabble in hockey, couldn't quite nail it down. I'll watch pretty much any sport you throw in front of me. I live in a trailer. I work at the RV park at that my trailer is parked at. And I also cover high school sports on the side. So that's just a little bit about me and my background in my life right there. So JD, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people?
Yeah, man. From Fort Worth. Went to Arlington Heights High School right down the road from TCU, lived right down the road from TCU, grew up right down the road from TCU. So the TCU ties are strong. Did not go there for college. I went to Louisiana Lafayette, Raging Cajuns, baby. Went there, came back. I've run logistics for UPS as my normal day job. And then right for Killer Frogs about a year now, basically. Ran into a gentleman named Tyler Brown that writes for Killer Frogs, that if any of you guys have read his stuff, it sure does give you a laugh. Ran into him at his office, right? His office is a quaint little bar across town, and we started talking TCU. He hooked me in contact with Barry, and I've been writing for him ever since. And I'll visit Tyler at his office here and there, but not too often anymore. I'm a lot busier than I once was. But that reaction alone tells me that Tyler very well, because I love that man.
I still to this day have not stopped into his office, and I'm a little scared of what's going to happen if and when I do. So, Tyler, when you watch this, man, I will join you one day, but just go easy on me.
I love his office. It's a great little British bar. It's a nice place. but yeah, man, I'm excited to be here. I think we're going to have some great conversations. Like you said, we're not going to agree on a lot. And I think actually our episode next week, or maybe 2 weeks, where we talk about the QB battle, I think you and I are going to have some strong disagreements, and I'm looking forward to it because I think that's what fuels people and gets them wanting it more, right?
I don't disagree, man. And that's what makes for a good show is people who disagree. I mean, I'm not a big fan of, Skip Bayless, but I mean, look at the Undisputed with Skip and Shannon, right? I mean, they didn't agree on anything and it made for a heck of a show. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. With that said, just for the people watching, we got a pretty light show ahead. I only have about 40 minutes on Zoom because I have the free subscription right now. Looking into getting to upgrading that so we can possibly do more content and more shows in the future. Hopefully I'll deal with that in the next couple of days. But basically today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the four newcomers to the Big 12 Conference. I'm no stranger to the Big 12 Conference. Growing up an OU fan. Last year I covered Baylor football. I've covered TCU baseball. And so I'm no stranger to the Big 12 Conference, and obviously neither are you. And so we're going to talk about the four newcomers from the Pac-12. And then we're basically just going to go down, the rankings that were released. We're not going to go off the Big 12 ones. We're going to go off of the Sports Illustrated ones because we are an SI Fan Nation podcast. And we're just going to talk about those rankings and kind of just go team by team and what we expect. And then next week, you and I will bring our own rankings to the table about how we would have ranked them to start the season. So next week, yes, will definitely be a good show. But right now it's going to be pretty light. We're just going to talk about it right now. And we're going to start off with, this team actually is number one in the SI rankings right now for the Big 12 is Utah. And that's the first newcomer we're going to handle. And I got to say, man, I mean, look, Kyle Whittingham replaces Mike Gundy as the longest tenured head coach in the conference for one particular school. But I was a little disappointed in the Utes last year, especially coming off back-to-back conference titles.
I think everyone was disappointed in him, right? Kyle Whittingham was disappointed in him. But Utah was still Utah last year, right? They only allowed 19.3 points per game. It's 18th in the nation, which is what they pride themselves on, is that, that really good defense they play. And you were just without Cam Rising, who, in my opinion, is a top 10 quarterback in the country when healthy. That I think when you miss a key piece like that and you're basically his number one option, which was the tight end, whenever you're missing two key pieces like that and you're still able to have a season record like they put up last season, I think it's I don't think it's a failure. And I think them coming into the Big 12, especially with a healthy season, is going to make Utah fans and fans outside looking in think maybe the Big 12 isn't as good as people think it is. But it's like they underperformed last year and then now they're healthy this year. Like it's a little bit of a different skeptical that you're coming into.
See, and this is a perfect example of where you and I are going to disagree, because for me, my disappointment with them was in the offense. This is an offense that was built to score points. It was built quickly. The first play of the season against Florida was a 75-yard touchdown pass. They have an offense that's built to move quickly and score, and they just can't do it. I look back at their game against Baylor week two last year, and really until the last 2 minutes of that game when Baylor ultimately really kind of choked it away, that was a loss for Utah. And then you look at the rest of their season, they didn't do as well as everyone had hoped. They end up making a bowl game, but they lose the bowl game. We're definitely agreeing that it was a disappointment, but to me, I see it the other way around. The offense is not up enough. And I think that I fully expect them to struggle a little bit this year, because I think that, it's the argument that every Big 12 school wants to make. I think we're a lot tougher than people give us credit for. I think Utah is going to come in and struggle, and I will use that Baylor game as that example, and I'll take that pretty far. You want to respond to that before I move on to Colorado?
Yeah. I'm glad that you chose the Baylor game as your example and not the Florida game, because Florida is a shell of themselves. Billy Napier was not ready for the big limelight, and I know that as someone who watched him coach at my alma mater, and I was 15 feet away from him. But last year was a disappointing season. But if you're looking ahead to this year a little bit already, I'm going to tell you, I think Utah has the best receiver in the conference, and Dorian Singer, the USC transfer. He was very good at USC, and now he's coming in with a healthy Cam Rising that I think I think their offense will be more productive with him in it than what you were expecting last year, even. And I mean, it also doesn't hurt that your quarterback is going to be 25 years old playing against 18-year-olds. So, you know, not going to delve too deep into that. But anyways,
that's a conversation for another day, man.
Exactly. I do think Utah will be in a better spot this year, and I think their offense will be better. But I actually think they'll have no problem playing in the conference championship game. I think the question is not going to be what two teams make it. The question will be what team is going to play Utah in it.
Interesting take. I respect it. Let's move on to Colorado. And I think that, you know, the easy thing for me to say about this is that people are just hyping him up too much. The media has given this so much attention because of Deion Sanders. And rightly so. He went into Jackson State and made a huge difference off the bat. But he never quite could win that the Celebration Bowl every time he got out of their conference, right? So he comes to Colorado, he struggles. Look at their non-conference their non-conference schedule. They beat TCU, they beat Colorado State, and there's one other one that they played in between the two that none of them made a bowl game, right? And so on paper at the beginning of the season, yes, that was a should have been a pretty darn good start. And then they go almost winless in the Pac-12 play and miss out on a bowl game, right? And then even, you know, here we are now, Shedeur Sanders saying, hey, we know we're everyone's Super Bowl. And it's kind of like a, okay, buddy. Like I'm glad you think that way. But I that's how I feel about Colorado. I think that they're a little too cocky coming in. I don't think that they have the team that's really going to compete with the Kansas States and the Oklahoma States coming right in off of their poor performance last season.
Okay, let me ask you before I kind of dive into my take on Colorado a little bit. Do you think Shiloh or Shedeur Sanders could be the number one pick at the end of the season?
Do I think he could? Yes, but he'd have to have an almost perfect season.
Like if you had to give it a percentage, what would you get it? Like what would you give his percent chance of being the number one overall pick?
See, so because I said he has to have an almost perfect season, I'm going to put it at about 15%. I mean, he has to have an almost perfect season. I mean, he's a great all-around athlete, and I'll give him that. But I just don't see exactly what NFL scouts are going to look for in that position.
Okay, and this is why I think we're on the same page. I do 100% believe Shedeur Sanders has all the talent in the world, and he could be the number one pick. But it's still going to come down to the same question it came down to last season, which is your offensive line is awful. There was a clip that was literally posted 2 days ago now where Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter were playing college football, and Travis Hunter got sacked with the Colorado offensive line. And someone asked, oh, is this like real life? And he goes, yeah, the offensive line is awful. Like, first of all, you never want to say that. Second of all, like, that was their big problem last year was offensive line and defensive line. And yeah, you're getting, you know, a little bit more on your offensive line for the portal, and you're getting I think he was the number two all on the country last year, Jordan Seaton. Very good pickup from Deion Sanders, but I do think you're not going to have enough to be able to make a full team. Like, you're still going to be flashy. You're still going to have really good games where you might surprise a team, but I don't think you're going to do enough overall. The only thing that I'm really, really interested in is Pat Shermer's the new offensive coordinator, and I'm kind of interested in seeing what he does with the lack of an offensive line because he is a genius. Like, I'm just excited to see what he can cook up.
I completely agree with that. He is a genius. And so it really will be interesting. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that the talent's definitely there. I don't think that they're fully there together as a team yet. And that's my hesitation on Colorado. And look, I do believe in Deion Sanders. I think that he will eventually turn this into a winning program, but I think it's going to be in time. The Pac-12 was tough last year, and I'll give them that. But there was way too much hype around this team. There still is way too much hype around this team. I think success will come in time, but it's still way too early to tell, and I don't think it'll be this year. Do you have any extra response before we move on to Arizona?
The only thing I will say real quick is Colorado does have a pretty favorable schedule as far as Big 12 goes. Like, they don't get Utah. They get Baylor. They get UCF. They do play Kansas State, but it's at home. Arizona, who we're about to talk about, that could be a 50-50 game based on what Arizona team we see. I mean, they have – oh, actually, never mind. They do. I didn't mean they have a favorable schedule. They have the hardest schedule. Because they do get Utah and Kansas State and Arizona, Oklahoma State. Like they got a pretty tough schedule that's not going to pair well with what they're trying to do. Like that offensive line has to be good and has to be good early.
I'm glad you're
Oh, and my
willing
hot
to.
take.
Go ahead.
I have a hot take real quick. Colorado will start the season 0-1 because they'll lose to North Dakota State.
Really? Okay. Now I can see that happening, but you are saying this on record. This is going out to the public.
I am on record. I will. I. Yeah.
All right. All right. I like it. And you know what? I
No problem
respect
with
it.
that.
I won't jump on board with you right away, but I respect it. And I respect it that you believe that and you made that public and you're going to stand by it. Moving on to Arizona. By the way, also real quick, one thing I do also respect, when you realized, oh wait, no, they actually have the hardest schedule. You made the 180 and you admitted it quickly. So much respect. You know, a lot of people would have tried to fake their way through that, but we dropped to
Yeah,
Arizona
when you're wrong,
now.
you're wrong.
Yeah, when you're wrong, you're wrong. We dropped to Arizona, and I actually think this is a good replacement for losing. Either take your pick on which one they're replacing, Oklahoma or Texas. And you know, I think the Alamo Bowl win against Oklahoma was very proof positive of that. This is a solid program that's coming in. I don't think they're going to dominate. I don't think they're going to be, you know, I mean, they very well could, but I don't think they're going to be the biggest favorites coming into Arlington at the end of the season. Jed Fish left, but they didn't lose much in the transfer portal, which is a good thing they got going for them. And you know, and the key is Brent Brennan coming from San Jose State. He wasn't bad at San Jose State, but he wasn't great. And so that's the key for me is how this coaching change is going to affect the Wildcats. And frankly, that's why we're going to get into this later and more next week. That's why I don't have the Wildcats very high on my list of Big 12 teams this year.
Huh, interesting. I don't know what I feel about Arizona yet. And I really like they're my wild card team for this season, and that's simply because I mean you have Noah Fifita, who could be the best quarterback in the conference by the end of the season. He has the talent level for it
One of the
that I
ones that
believe he
everyone
could.
expected to leave when Fish left and he stayed.
Yeah, and him staying tells me alone that he's bought in. And when you get people to buy in, you can beat anyone at that point. And it's just like this team is such a wild card to me because you did lose a few guys to the portal, not as many as people thought, but like you had a really good season last year. Does that mean that maybe this year you put the pieces together, you're in the Big 12, which is, in my opinion, kind of a top heavy conference this year? I think there's like seven teams really that can compete for it all, and other than that, it kind of drops off a little bit. That I think I don't know. Come back to me next week when we do our rankings, and I'll tell you what I think about Arizona because I still can't decide.
I'll close off on saying about Arizona that I question the hire of Brent Brennan. He could he and by all means, I hope he does shut me up, right? When I make a prediction that's negative, I want you to prove me wrong, right? And so I hope Brent Brennan does come in and he does well. But I do question this hire. He didn't have the best record at San Jose State. There the AD at Arizona, Desiree Reed Francois, she must know something that we don't. Because I don't know why this hire was made when in this last coaching carousel, there were a lot better coaches available that she could have gotten out and gotten. But instead, she went with Brent Brennan. But again, I hope he shuts me up. I hope he proves me wrong. I hate having negative thoughts about people. I'm a positive guy. So, you know, I hate having those
Wait,
negative
before you
thoughts.
move on, one more. Before you move on, can you tell me why you didn't like the hire? I'm just genuinely curious.
So he did go into San Jose State, which was genuinely a garbage program when he went in, and he turned it to a mediocre at best program. So the biggest question I have is why a Power Five school went after him when he didn't quite have the success that say Willie Fritz did at Tulane, who we'll talk about in a little bit when we talk about Houston, right? And so you know, I didn't quite see that same kind of success in the Mountain West Conference that would have, you know, led to this Power Five hire. That's really the only reason I question it. He didn't have the best record. San Jose State did have some good defenses in his tenure, and so I think that's going to be good for Arizona as well. But I don't know why they went with him when, again, they must know something that I don't know.
I personally like the hire a lot, actually. I really did like it. Just because when you look at Brett Brennan's backstory and history, he is a West Coast guy. That is 90% of who Arizona recruits and who you get to come to your school. I think he's a culture fit, and he's not the best hire they could have made. And maybe they could have done better, but at that point, we're in an age of football now where at sometimes it's okay to pick a lesser coach to lose less guys to the portal. And I think that's kind of what we saw at Arizona, and it's kind of why I was like, kind of like that pick.
That's a fair point, but I do have my thoughts about bringing in a guy with a similar similar scheme to take over a program of a different guy, with the same scheme and everything, just because you want to stick to the old ways, as opposed to getting the best hire, let him come in for a few years and change it and build the best program that he can. You know, it's almost like they're just trying to replace the guy they just lost instead of trusting the guy that is the best option to, you know, come in and build his own team. Now, I can already hear your counter that Arizona really didn't need to be rebuilt, right? So I can see both sides of it here. I just question it. I didn't think he had the best record. Again, it'd be interesting. I hope he shuts me up. But, you know, he may be a great recruiter. He may ultimately end up bringing in building a great program at Arizona.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, obviously, they could have done better. I just think it's one of those that we're in such a new age of college football that there's two trains of thoughts now. Like, before, it used to be you want the best coach out there. Now it's like, hey, we got NIL money. This guy knows how to talk to people a little bit. May not be the best coach, but if he hires some great assistant coaches or keeps on the assistant coaches who are, you know, doing well, then sometimes it's all that matters. It's such a weird time in the sport that no one really knows who's right, who's wrong.
No, I completely agree. Everything with NIL and Transportal and all the coaching carousel now, you are completely right, and I'll agree with that. Moving down to Arizona State, Kenny Dillingham did not have – well, let's be honest. He had a horrible first season at the helm of the Sun Devils, and I honestly don't think this move helped him very much, the move into the Big 12.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was. I mean, we're going to talk about our rankings a little later, but I'll go ahead and, you know, give you mine right now. Arizona State's last in it for me. Like, I don't think they're going to do any better than they will this year. There's not really even any pieces that, like, if I'm excited to see, right? Like, it's just a weird construction, and I get it's the second year of rebuilding it, so there's going to be hiccups still, but, like, I don't know how you turn this around, especially when your in-state rival is potentially could be playing for a Big 12 championship. Like, you know, it's just a tough rebuild.
And looking at their season, there might be a couple games they're able to pull out, but I mean, they open the season with three non-conference games against Wyoming, who's, you know, really just taken the Mountain West by force and just, you know, grabbed national attention with the great season they had last year. Then you have Mississippi State.
Even beating Texas Tech last year.
Yeah, even beating Texas Tech, who's also on Arizona State schedule. And I think Texas Tech deserves we'll get there in a minute, but I really like Joey McGuire. But Mississippi State is in week two, SEC program that, you know, they get them at home, but I really can't give them the nod. Texas State, who upset Baylor week one last year, and there are really a lot of good things going on in San Marcos. Then you get Texas Tech, Kansas, Utah, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, UCF, Kansas State, BYU, and Arizona. I can maybe see them sneaking by BYU. That's about it.
Is the BYU game at night? I need to know.
It is to be determined, and it is at home.
Oh, so if it's a night game, I'm taking BYU. I don't know.
But I don't disagree. I can be talked into them squeaking by BYU, but this is not – the best addition football-wise that the Big 12 could have made. I really can't – again, you may be able to convince me, but I doubt you'd be able to convince me of a single conference win. Injuries and transfers absolutely killed them last year, and this year is likely more the same. They lost a lot in the portal of a lot of great athletes that you know, just got frustrated because it didn't come together. And I think, you know, he's only in year two, but man, I don't think Dillingham makes it to the end of the season. And if he does, I don't think he sees year three.
And that's the thing, because like I really do like Dillingham as a coach. Like I think he's getting a lot of unjust flack because he inherited an extremely bad roster, an extremely bad program at the time too. Like Arizona State was just hasn't been good for what 5 years now. He's a good enough coach that maybe he can turn it around, but like when he I don't want to go back to it repeatedly, but it's hard to have success or it's sustained success, you know, whenever you get to year four, when you have your boosters that are like, look at Arizona, look at how well they're playing right now, why are we that? And then everyone's quick to, you know, hit the trigger to fire people now. So I don't know. I don't have any high hopes for Arizona State, and I don't even think Arizona State fans that I've seen on social media have high hopes for the team. So that should kind of tell you where they are.
All right, I just got the alert from Zoom that we got less than 10 minutes to go, so we're going to quick hit the rest of the conference. I just want your top thoughts on each one. I'll do the same. So in the rankings on SI.com, number one is Utah. We've already covered them. We'll pass them. Number two, Kansas State. JD, what do you think?
I don't buy the Avery Johnson hype. That's what I think.
I won't disagree, and I think the reason they're this high, that history helps them a lot as well, but they bring back some depth players that have good experience, but I'm not sure I put them at number two. Number three, Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Again, it's a toss-up. I could see them playing in the conference championship. I could see them placing eighth. It's Oklahoma State and it's Mike Gundy. You never know what's going to happen.
I will tease my rankings next week. I put them in the top two. I expect them in December, especially with 20 returning starters, including Ollie Gordon and Alan Bowman at quarterback. Number four, Kansas.
If Jaden Daniels stays healthy, it's a very deadly team, and that's the key to it.
I completely agree. Missed a lot last season. If he's ready to go, they should be ready for a title fight. And I will say, I had no faith in Lance Leipold when he took over Kansas. I thought the program was screwed, but look at where they are now, and we're talking about them possibly playing in December. Number five in the ranking was Arizona. We already talked about them. We'll jump to number six, West Virginia.
Them and the next team are, you know, I'll tease it a little bit, are my picks to play in Arlington next season. So,
all right. So he's mentioning both West Virginia and Iowa State, who comes in at seven on the SI rankings. I like West Virginia. They're on the upswing. Out of nowhere came, by the way. They had no expectations last year at all. It came out of nowhere, had a great season, made a big difference in defense with the portal this season, and plus Garrett Green's coming back. So I really like the Mountaineers. I think they got a good chance at a good season. As for the Cyclones, got hot at the end of last year. They cannot afford a slow start this year like they had last year. It's just not going to work for them the same way, especially with Utah, Arizona, and Colorado coming in as well. Number eight on the SI rankings is finally the team that we are paid to cover, the TCU Horned Frogs. What do you think?
I think they're a top three defense in the Big 12, but a bottom three offensive line, which holds them back.
I don't disagree. And I admit I do need to do a little bit more research into the roster and just who we're going to have in the depth chart. I do think the future is bright, but I have a hard time seeing it this season. And I have questions at quarterback, which teasing an episode in about 2 weeks. So y'all stick around for that one. Number nine on the SI Big 12 rankings, Texas Tech.
Love Joey McGuire, love the new stadium, love the new uniforms. Tech is Tech. They won't do it. They can't get 10 wins. They won't get 9.
I think they should be higher on the list. People are sleeping on them. The way Joey McGuire recruits both out of high school and in transfers. You know, everyone wants to roll their eyes and joke about me. We can have a deeper conversation about that another time. But honestly, I think the time for the Red Raiders is coming, especially now that OU and Texas are gone. Coming in at number 10, UCF made a bowl game last year, went 3-1 in the final month of the season, added some transfers, should be fairly good. KJ Jefferson in from Arkansas, that could be the difference maker on offense. JD, what do you think?
I bought into the UCF hype. Once I heard Gus Malzahn say that KJ Jefferson was the closest thing he's had to Cam Newton, I fully bought in, but I don't know if it's going to pay off.
Coming in at number 11 was Colorado. We already talked about them. Coming in at number 12, Baylor. And I thought they should have been lower on this list. I think Dave Aranda, having covered them last year, I think Dave Aranda should have been fired last year. But Spavadal coming in as OC will be interesting. But I just really can't see the Bears doing too well this year.
I just think the question is what game does Gary Patterson become the head coach?
That's a good question. Number 13, BYU, just narrowly missed the bowl game last year. Left a lot to be desired. But I would say I put them above Baylor. You know, BYU, you know, those, you know, that religion out west just has a way of developing some athletes that I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, BYU is not very exciting, but I am excited to see a Big 12 game between them and Utah. That's always fun.
There you go. Good rivalry there out west in Utah. Number 14, Cincinnati. Didn't give a lot of indication they'd be very successful earlier into their Power 5 career. Brendan Sorsby transfers in from Indiana to probably take the quarterback role. His performance will be telling, but I really just don't see a lot from the Bearcats.
Yeah, Cincinnati's kind of just been trying to regroup for the last 2 years now, and they're still trying to regroup, but I think that eventually their corner is going to turn.
Number 15, Arizona State. They are second from last, and obviously JD said he wanted them last, but we finally come to number 16, the Houston Cougars. Willie Fritz is in after Dana Holgorsen is out. I love what Willie Fritz did at Tulane. It'll take time, but there's a lot to fix with this team. Donovan Smith is back again, but he needs to avoid turning the ball over. He led the conference 13 interceptions last season.
Yeah, Fritz is a good enough quarterback that I think Houston won't finish in the bottom third. I think Houston can become a dominant force, which scares me, but this year won't be the year.
Just in time, we have about 3.5 minutes to go. JD, any final thoughts before I wrap this up?
No. I guess we're going to do our rankings next week, so I won't ask my question. I'll save it for next week. But other than that, good, man. I think it was a great first episode.
That's a wonderful teaser for next week, too, to bring people back. Folks will be doing this every Monday. It'll likely be out on Tuesday on Spotify and Apple, I believe. It'll definitely be on the Killer Frogs website, including, I think, on YouTube as well. Frog fans, that does it for this first episode of the new Killer Frogs football podcast. New name pending. Thank you for tuning in and listening / watching, however you find your podcast. We'll see you next week for another great show. Until then, for my partner, JD Andres, and everyone at Killer Frogs, I'm Nolan Ruth, or as I like to say, you can just call me Nolan because you can't handle the Ruth. Signing off. So long, everybody.